State regulators say the commercial harvest of whitefish in Lake Michigan has reached its lowest level since 1990. It's Wednesday, July 23rd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, it's early, but the battle for control of Wisconsin's state Senate is already shaping up, and a wrecked boat that became an unlikely Milwaukee landmark is now up for auction. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
State regulators say the commercial harvest of whitefish in Lake Michigan has reached its lowest level since 1990. As Danielle Kading reports, some fisheries biologists fear the fish may disappear in parts of the lake.
In Wisconsin, the commercial harvest of lake whitefish in Lake Michigan has dropped around 90% since 1999 to less than 200,000 pounds last year. Fisheries biologist Scott Hansen is with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He says invasive mussels are reducing the survival of young fish by gobbling up their food.
They've taken the legs out of the food chain.
Fisheries biologist Jason Smith with the Bay Mills Indian Community says he fears the fish could disappear from parts of the lake.
The decline is incredibly steep, incredibly fast, and there is really no end in sight.
Michigan tribes are working with partners to stock fish in rivers to replicate success seen in Green Bay. Whitefish have seen a resurgence there due to river spawning. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Democrats have launched their first campaigns aimed at flipping Republicans' majority in the state Senate. As Rich Kramer reports, new voting maps enacted last year have put four seats into play.
The 5th, 17th, and 21st Senate districts are currently held by Republicans, but an analysis by Marquette Law School researcher John Johnson shows they were all won by Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris in November. Democratic Assemblywoman Robin Vining of Wauwatosa is challenging Republican Senator Rob Hutton of Brookfield in the 5th District. Johnson says the new maps, coupled with shifts in voting patterns in that suburban district, are expected to help Democrats.
The 5th is one where I think Democrats will be having a pretty bad night if they don't win it. You know, if they lose the 5th, that'll suggest that they've probably lost those other targets too.
The new maps helped Democrats chip away at Republicans' Senate supermajority last year. The party needs to gain two seats next year to take control of the chamber. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin vape shop owners have less than 2 months before further restrictions on certain e-cigarettes take effect. A new state law bans vaping products that are not FDA approved. That means shop owners have until September 1st to get products such as pod systems, disposables, and juices off their shelves or face a fine of $1,000. Tyler Hall is president of the trade group Wisconsinites for Alternatives to Smoking Tobacco. He told WPR's Wisconsin Today the ban will benefit tobacco companies.
The only products that Wisconsinites will be able to use are these 39 that happen to be owned by Big Tobacco, RJ Reynolds, Altria. And they're generally products that customers do not like to use. They're not effective at helping them quit smoking.
Hall's group recently filed a federal lawsuit claiming the ban violates the 14th Amendment. Who would want a wrecked 43-foot boat that's been gutted and covered with graffiti? Milwaukee officials are hoping someone will pay big for the locally famous wreck. Evan Casey has the details.
The boat Deep Thought was abandoned on Milwaukee's lakeshore in October. It became an unlikely local landmark, an unofficial art project, before cranes lifted the boat off a sandbar in May. Milwaukee County is on the hook for the $50,000 removal. An online auction started Tuesday, and County Executive David Crowley says the winner will be able to take the boat home.
This is actually about fiscal responsibility. this boat's removal was not only complex, but it was a costly process. And now we're working to recoup some of those public dollars.
Guy Smith is the director of Milwaukee County Parks. He was asked why someone would pay the $20,000 target price.
I would say it's priceless.
The auction ends in 2 weeks. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, a story of remembering a loved one through geocaching. Stay with us.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about staying connected with a loved one who's passed.
Have you ever picked up a hobby because a friend or a relative was really into it? Try to see if they're truly onto something? Writer Yia Laura Vauclair did this with geocaching, an outdoor activity her late sister, Jurlore, loved to do with her kids.
My sister Zao was an epic geocacher. She wasn't afraid of getting lost in fields, climbing through brush, or being greeted by spiders. Well, maybe she was a little, but she still went. Geocaching is an outdoor treasure hunting activity where hiders and seekers come to play. Seekers, like my sister, use GPS-enabled devices to locate hidden containers called geocaches that include a logbook and sometimes trinkets to swap. In the Eau Claire area alone, there are almost 900 hidden treasures. I've added geocaching to my list of things to do when I miss my sister. This was one of her favorite hobbies with the kids in her life, and though she'd asked me to tag along, I never did. There was something about needing to go off trail at times, or searching aimlessly while strangers walked by that made me feel uneasy. My sister wasn't shy though. She was all about finding the treasure. One afternoon, my nieces asked if we could go to the park. We hadn't ventured out much since my sister died, and this seemed like an easy enough feat to accomplish. When we arrived, one of my nieces said, "There's a geocache here." Before I knew it, she was holding a canister that somehow magically appeared from the pines. The kids dug through for which trinket they wanted to keep, while I scanned the logbook. Then, my eyes landed on my sister's name, Zao. I glanced up at the towering pines, maples, and oaks. They likely greeted my sister too when she was here. I took a picture of her signature to create a stamp so she could go into every logbook I found from then on. The first time I went geocaching by myself was after it had rained. The ground was muddy and mosquitoes were out in full force. I was not prepared in my shorts, t-shirt, and flip-flops, but I was missing my sister and felt the urge to go. The geocaching app showed several treasures along the trails in my neighborhood. After parking, I navigated to the closest geocache but struggled to find it amongst the fallen branches. After the 10th mosquito bite, I moved along to the trails. As I got closer to the next geocache, I realized that it was hidden off-trail. There I stood, staring into the woods, swatting at the buzzing by my ear, and debating with my sister. "You want me to go in there?" I said. "There's not even a way in." Just like Zhou would have done, though, I paved my own path. I moved branches out of my way and crawled alongside a moss-covered log, in search of a geocache called the Naughty Potty Gnome. My sister would have loved that. After almost losing one of my flip-flops twice and my hair full of webs, I reached the end of the fallen log, where I was greeted by a gnome sitting on a toilet. On the bottom of the sculpture, I unscrewed a tube to find the logbook and stamped my sister's name. Together, we had found our first treasure. It didn't surprise me when Zhou took the old pill bottles from my recycling bin and turned them into geocaches. She delivered them one day, suggesting I hide them. Instead, I put them inside a cupboard and forgot. After she passed away, I found them while cleaning. Zhao had created over 20 geocaches filled with logbooks and trinkets. I opened each one, stamped her name into the logbook, and thought of all the places my sister and I could hide them.
Writer Yia Laura of Eau Claire brought us that story on her sister and geocaching. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, a quick check of your forecast before letting you go for the day. A heat advisory is in effect for the southern half of the state today. A little bit of rain to start, but that'll be clearing by about mid-morning. High temperatures in the 80s and 90s across the state today. Meanwhile, northwestern Wisconsin is under a flood watch until tomorrow. That's because we could be seeing some heavy rain in that portion of the state overnight, with lows down into the 60s and 70s. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Courtney Everett, John Davis, and Sean Johnson. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.